Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brown loaders around the world, welcome to 2022, baby.
So we're back.
Rolling on 22s, baby.
Yeah.
That was a hip-hop thing, wasn't it? They talk about 22s.
Yeah, rims, yeah.
That was the inches of the rimage. The
rims, yeah.
It's Desmond's year. It's a shame he's not going to be around for it, though. In honour, it's Desmond's year.
It could be Malkeet Singh year with a tu-taka-tu-taka-tu-tia.
It could be as well.
Tutu. Tutu. It could be, I don't know, that could be the year we're going to be on hold, because it's
tutu. It could be the Star Wars R2-D2 year.
Do we still say Happy New Year?
No, at the moment. I didn't do it.
No, I think it's still. I think it's still fresh. No, I think we should say Happy New Year to the Brown Loaders,
because this podcast comes out on the 6th.
Yeah,
but that's when you take your decorations down.
Oh, what?
The 6th is the last day. You've got to take your decoration. Otherwise, it's bad luck for the rest of the year.
Well, but can you do it before that?
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. I've talking of which, I had to climb the roof and take it all down, but I have done it.
Really? You did the full, the wrap around the chimney, all of that's all down now, is it?
I did it yesterday because obviously, so I'm saying yesterday because it was the bank holiday. I did it on the bank holiday Monday because it was dry.
Same here.
It was dry. And I thought, well, you know, it was one of those ones where it was in the afternoon. There was not a lot going on. I thought, might as well knock it out.
I got a confession. I had nothing to do with putting the tree up or taking it down.
Oh.
I refused. I refused.
Is it because you didn't put it up? You thought, I'm not going to take it down. Nothing to do.
Yeah. Well, I refused to put it up. Actively refused. I said, look.
Why? Oh my God.
Why?
I tell you why, bruv. In the movies and on TV programs, putting up the tree is a wonderful, joyous occasion. It's not in my house. My wife shouts. She's a shouter, right? She won't mind me saying that.
Shouts what, though?
She's like, look.
What are you doing to the tree?
No, not those baubles. No, the glass ones. Be careful. She's talking to the boys, right? Mainly, right? And you want to get involved, and I can't handle it
because that's who it's for, Tommy.
Yeah, exactly. But they do such a bad job on putting things up, and they put in like three baubles on one branch, so there's like it creates an imbalance of baubleage, you know, on one area of the tree.
Yeah, you need to spread them.
And I can't handle it. I can't look at it, and I'm trying to balance it out, and then I'm getting, you know, you've got too many cooks, basically.
But your missus does know it's not. You're not entering your tree into the strictly Christmas tree, you know, dressing up competition or anything like that. It's okay.
But it's just basic. I think all she wants is a basic, neat, well-distributed tree, and I don't know what my part is in that, because whatever I do,
your part is to get it down from the loft and then whack it up.
Exactly. And even for us, it's out the cellar. And then, so that's kind of not too hard. So I just got to drag it up some stairs and then stick it in. And even then I stuck it in the lounge and I stayed away from it. And I went out one night, came back. It was all done. I was like, now that feels like Christmas magic.
So I came back one other day
and it was gone. I'm like, brilliant.
It's gone. Okay, good. Yeah. I was just about to ask you, is it gone then?
Yeah. Fully gone.
Good.
And also, didn't the lounge feel massive? When the tree's gone,
it just
opens up a lot of space, doesn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
So I'm enjoying that. But welcome to 2022. And funny enough, the only people that I had this debate with, is it too late to say Happy New Year? And that was yesterday, on the 3rd of January, the man in the kebab shop. I went there and I went, you're right. I said, how you doing, guys? I said, Happy New Year. Because we got a kebab last night, because it was like, felt like it was the end of the holidays. Why not? Let's just get a kebab. Can't be bothered to cook anything.
Mm.
And he was a Bulgarian guy who was working in the Turkish kebab shop. I just thought he was Turkish because of the way he looked and his accent. But he goes, don't you think it's too late to say Happy New Year? And I went, but he got well into the debate.
It's like the first time you've kind of seen him. So, like, you know, I think it's still quite polite to say Happy New Year. Like, I mean, today, for example, I was speaking to people over WhatsApp and, you know, clients and emails and stuff. The first thing I said was Happy New Year, because it's just what you do, right?
I think when you're talking to clients, it's something different. But by the way, he then went off onto one and he said, oh.
Well, you're a client.
Huh?
You're a client to him.
Technically, but I'm the client. I'm the one saying Happy New Year to him. He's not returning it. If anything, he's grilling me for it, telling me that's why I'm saying it. But then he goes, let me ask you this, my friend. Where are you from? I said, up around the corner. And he went, no, where are you from? You know, and I went, oh, like my family are Indian, Punjabi. He goes, right. He goes, so do you celebrate Christmas? I went, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the kids. He goes, why?
Did this guy just come from some sort of teleport from like the 14th century?
Mate, he goes, why? He goes, they, I don't know who they are. Well, I got a rough idea. Christmas. They don't celebrate your festivals. Why do you celebrate theirs? You shouldn't. You're losing your culture. You're losing your culture. And I was like, oh my word, this is, mate, just give me the kebab.
Yeah, I'm here for a basic kebab, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll celebrate your culture. I'll eat the rubbish. Just give me the kebab.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, I don't think it's right. He goes, I said, then, you know, I said, I went, in all honesty, mate, I said, then I don't think you should be in this country.
You went there.
Well, I said, you know, I said, this is a multicultural society. I said, my kids at school.
This is serious. Yeah,
Brown Lady.
I tell you, it's worse. The last time I was there, we got into another debate about coronavirus and all sorts. So basically, I'm saying this year started off confrontational. Is what it started off.
Maybe that's your resolution. Don't go back to that kebab shop. Where they're going to say Happy New Year to you to start with.
Maybe he's trying to kickstart my diet. He's kind of going, look, you're not welcome here, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be eating kebabs anymore. But okay, I'll say it then. For you boys and brown loaders everywhere, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, I like
Happy New Year. Happy
did you,
New Year.
Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy your celebrations? What did you do for New Year's Eve? Where were you?
Yeah, so it was. I thought, well, you know what? We've got to make a conscious effort of what was going to happen on the telly. Because, you know, obviously we'd been told there were no fireworks happening in Central. They didn't want crowds gathering. Mm. So don't come down. And I was intrigued what was the telly sort of...
So were you at home then, Kedge?
Of course. There was no chance of going out into a COVID soup.
Tommy, were you at home?
I was at the temple. It was my first one to be at the temple. 3-day bar, religious thing. Because I'm not drinking. Hey?
You were there at midnight?
I was there at midnight. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and they have... So, look at me. I'm relating it to you guys. Because it was... I've never done, New Year's Eve at midnight, right? So much like, you know, you guys would do your budgeons with all the musical playing and all that. They were... Why do you look confused?
What do you mean? You've never done. I don't. What time do you do your New Year's? Then I don't.
Sorry,
I'm confused.
At the temple. Sorry. Right. I've never done. Sorry. Know, what did I say?
You were obviously at 10:33.
Yeah.
Because you said you've never done New Year's at midnight. No, like you guys.
I tell you what. I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about it. Kind of like when you guys have your budgets and it's soulfully uplifting. It was building to that throughout New Year's Eve, like with the kirtan, with the kind of, and it was kind of
pace. Building the pace was building.
Pace was building, brother.
Oh, I like that. Well, yeah.
I'm telling you, there was a vibe. There was an energy.
Basically, there was a warm up DJ, and then there was, you know, the guy that takes
Yanni, and then goes to the main.
It's the guy who takes you from 11 o'clock into 1 a.m. main set. And then there's
Listen, I'm a former DJ, Satch, like you are now, right? So that's exactly how I saw it. And what they had early on is they had the kids doing the kid then, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah, so lovely.
I'm like, giving the new blood a little go. Okay, yeah, I like that. And that was kind of cute and endearing, and it was like, wow. And I was like saying to Milo and Logan, like, look, like they're your age, and
God,
they're
they
doing
must have
that.
Hated you for that.
You know. Yep. No, they were cool. They were watching it. Logan was just like, whoa, we're getting Godfather for New Year's Eve. He goes, I'm going to do cartwheels. I said, yeah, you can't, because the Godfather is carpeted, open space.
Air space, do we want.
Exactly. And no one says anything. So we did that. And then they built up. And then, like, the main Gianni, he comes on for the peak set. And he is good. He's got a power in his voice. He's got a strength in his delivery. He is spiritually up. He knows how to command the audience. It was wicked. So you're at, and I thought, right, he's the Carl Cox. They're bringing out them. He's the
EZ, DJ EZ.
So it was connected to the timings of the night. It was so there was that big crescendo at midnight. I mean, for all the people now we want to know what happened at midnight.
Oh, so they kind of they do the kind of
there wasn't confetti showers or anything like that.
No, like that. But they kind of crescendo, and then they kind of they were sort of chanting. They sort of chanted over the midnight.
Right. Point. Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. Was there a break?
No. And then about 2 minutes after, they broke. So it was like they took you across the midnight threshold.
They took you in. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Into the
they were like, okay. And woosa. And then a few little words of wisdom, and some, as always, I'm not just saying, you know, to be all cheesy and stuff, but there is some wisdom in that. And I remember even when I've been to churches, I've been to artis, I've been to now the Godbara, there is wisdom in what they're saying, and it's positive. And when you're all there together, there's a community vibe. It was good. It was good little vibes. Anyway. And so yeah, I saw it in there. But were you out? Were you deep? No, you weren't DJing, were you, Satch?
I wasn't. I mean, my New Year's Eve was probably pretty similar to Kedge's, because I was at home and I was watching the old fireworks on the old telly.
That's it was rubbish, though. I've got to say. They knew that the whole nation was indoors. It was the TV programming was on terrestrial channels was terrible.
Why? What do you mean? What was so bad about it?
So do you remember last year? If you go back to last year's one, I was moaning about Alicia Keys trying to bring us into the new year. I mean, it put me to bed. It was terrible.
That bored me.
I thought they would have learned. They're going to bring it back. They're going to.
The year before was Craig David.
Smashed it,
which was amazing.
Smashed it, and I think they peaked. That way, you set the bar. And then this year it was years and years, and it weren't really there. I'm sorry to say it. It didn't get me going. He didn't get me in that part. And I think the BBC have messed it up again. You've got to go for someone who's got just all out bangers. You've got to go Sean Paul. You've got to go, you know, someone.
You're not going to get Sean Paul for the countdown game.
Flow rider. But just, you know, they've got
Flow rider.
No, but just someone who's got bangers for days. I mean, you're telling me, like, I'm not being funny, but even if they went with Take That, or Spice Girls, that would be good.
Tom Jones.
Yeah, maybe Tom Jones. Something like that. You know, sex bomb. Midnight, while Tommy's at the Gurdwara, we're all doing a sex bomb out here.
When you say things like that, I'm only going to say something really wrong, and I'm not now.
Because you're at the Gurdwara, you can't.
But what I will say, though, can I just say, because we've all seen him live, Busta Rhymes New Year's Eve. Wouldn't that be something?
But you can't. As much as I love all of these guys, you've said, Kedge, you can't slap them on BBC One, because it's that music's not for everyone.
But nor is Craig David.
No, but if you had someone like a Bruno Mars or something, or do you see what I mean? That would be something that everyone kind of jammed to.
But I mean, obviously, but I'm just thinking, obviously, because they're not going to spend loads of money on a foreign act. And after you know Alicia Keys flopping.
Go back to a tiny temper. Bring him back with all of his
mates. Yeah.
You see what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah, but like ITV was rubbish. It was just, you know, and then it was the usual. Who's that fella on the piano on BBC Two? He's good. That was a good little watch.
Elton John?
No.
Jules Holland?
Jules Holland. He's good. He was good. Yeah. Nintendo Sony was producing it.
But back to the fireworks now. Like, I mean, the main problem I had with that was the lack of fireworks. And it was the whole point of like New Year's Eve. You see what the other countries are doing throughout the day. So obviously you start off with, you see Australia.
Australia was massive.
You see Dubai was like four. It was at 8 o'clock. So when I was having like dinner, it was 8 o'clock here, but it was midnight over there. So I was watching that. And it's just like, ours didn't live up to it, basically.
Yeah. But Dubai know how to do fireworks. When I was there for the Diwali, their fireworks for that.
I mean, they do fireworks for a regular Thursday night or something. Yeah, it's not a thing over there. But it was just a bit of a letdown. I thought,
people actually turned up to those places that they were told not to.
And then the embankment.
Yeah, and then they started complaining that there were no fireworks. Because I've seen a bunch of videos. They're all waiting and they're counting it down and they're going 3, 2, 1, and it's just silent. And then everyone starts moaning. But
everyone was at that same spot looking over the London Eye and no fireworks there.
Basically. Nothing there.
So and they were just standing there like Wally's.
You were told.
But hold on. Sorry. Are you saying there were fireworks on though, but you're saying they weren't very good?
No, they weren't in the place that you'd expect them to be.
They were all in different areas and it was all quite small sort of, so that they tricked. Basically, they played a trick on everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, bruv? If I'm honest, if I was around town, I would have fallen for that one. So last minute, on the,
Tommy's
on
that guy. Tommy's that guy standing with his camera, looking at the London eye.
Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, with my little sparkler. We'll get my sparkler out. The thing is, I actually messaged my sister who was in town at the time and said, oh, fireworks are on. You're in town. Go down. But they weren't. Weren't on, but like she didn't go.
She's already information.
Oh man. That is a little trickster. That's unfair.
It was.
Okay.
It was an absolute trickster. And also we've been tricked by lateral flow tests as well, it seems. Since we're in the thick of our new Omicron wave at the moment, everyone's, you know, obviously trying to make sure that they're all testing themselves every day or, you know, in the build up to when you're meeting with your family, friends, whoever, whatever you've got to do. Because obviously we are work from home now officially. The government guide is that everyone's working from home if you can. But this country has now run out of LFTs. So you cannot order lateral flow tests from the government site anymore.
Wow.
People are now selling lateral flow tests on eBay, on the markets, for absolutely ridiculous amounts.
No way.
That is the state that we have come to in this first world country.
Do you know what? Very quickly about lateral flow tests, I found something out interesting that was quite interesting today. And I never knew this throughout the whole pandemic. And it's because I met a mate of mine who's a GP. And we're talking about lateral flow tests and the lack of them. And he goes to me, do you know how much they cost?
I bet they're like 8p.
Not to make, but like how much the NHS pays per each test.
Oh, per test. So not a box, but a test.
Yeah, per one test. How much does the NHS pay? It's like a range. It's between this amount and this amount. You see what I mean? But
I was blown 50p away. And a pound.
Tommy?
I reckon because they bought like so many of them, economies of scale and all that, I reckon they're paying between 8 and 15p.
Well, this blew me away when I was told it today, and I went online to have a look at it to validate the costings.
Go on.
Each test is between £5 and £30.
Oh, wow!
Per test,
that is loads
for the little fob down the nose up.
Yep.
No, but if you think there's a lot of bits that they have to make.
But hold on, what? Are you talking about the actual production of it or the cost?
That's the cost.
To accept it, analyze. Well, no, people can
basically,
do it themselves.
That's how much the NHS are getting them for.
Five and 30. I mean, look, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
And it's a lot of plastic.
It is a lot of plastic,
And yet they've got me sucking out of paper straws. That is what is annoying me.
So do you want to suck it out of a lateral flow test?
I might have to, because I mean, no one's worrying about how much plastic we're dumping all of a sudden with those lateral flow things. And yet, you know, I've still got to drink a Starbucks drink, which is a venti with a paper straw, which is all shriveled up. By the time you get halfway through it, the top end's, you know, all crumpled up in your lips and everything like that as well. The bottom end is all floppy. You can't drink your Starbucks and it tastes disgusting.
Are you saying that when your lateral flow test comes back negative, you just use that for your Starbucks as well? You're like,
you're better off scooping your Frappuccino with the lateral flow plastic test because you'll get a good scoop of it, wouldn't you? I'm just saying. All of a sudden, everyone's forgotten about plastic straws.
So what are we going to do then if we ain't got these tests? I think they're quite important at the moment.
Apparently they've ordered like 300 million or something like that as well. But I've got a bit of a bone out of five, probably. But I've got a bone to pick with lateral flow tests, because have you noticed recently? So think about your sort of first memories of doing a lateral flow test, right?
Yeah.
And then the progression of it. And I don't know if you guys know about it, but there was a few packets that we all got, which was just the nose. You just had to do the nose. And now we've got the other packets, which is back to the throat and then the nose, right?
Mm. Oh, I haven't got those yet.
Oh, really? Okay. So because I've been a seasoned LFT-er, so I've noticed the variation that we've had. And what I've noticed now is that the liquid in the capsule, it's hardly anything in there. So when you open it and you lump it into the little test tube, right, and then you've got to do the swab and then put it in. If you put the swab in, it sucks up all the liquid. And then you're supposed to squeeze it round and round, and it drops down two or three drops. But then by the time you close the lid and then you pour it, that liquid gets stuck in the funnel. So it doesn't actually come out the thing. So I've had to then open it, give it a good yank, it splatters everywhere because you're hoping one of those splats are
COVID all over the table.
Well, no, but the thing is, there's only about two or three splats anyway. It's not like there's a drainage of liquid coming out. So you're like, please land in this hole.
It's like Kedge could be talking about something else here. I give it a good shake, splat my liquid out. There's not much liquid that comes out. I mean, I'm just saying, you're making it very easy for me.
Well, it's true, isn't it? You need one of those things to land in the hole. I mean, the chances of that is ridiculous.
You're right.
Lo and behold, I did it.
Oh, well done.
I messed it up. It came back. It didn't work. The whole thing just didn't work. I was like, how annoying is that?
Yeah.
And honestly, I just don't even care anymore. I think they're not making it with the same level of love as what they used to. Or they've changed countries of where they're bringing them from.
Just getting conjuiced. They're getting conjuiced, with, like you said, because the supplies are running low.
With that liquid.
Then juice with the juice. I think you should just do a spit in it a bit.
Well, maybe. All the fob doesn't have to juice up all the barney from the thing, because that's annoying as well. Why is it taking it in? It's annoying. So anyway, that was my sort of issue over the New Year's holiday and the Christmas holiday.
So speaking of annoying, I was thinking about it, and I think more like, you know, everyone, a lot of people have asked me, what's your New Year's resolutions and stuff like that? And to be quite honest with you, I've not really had a chance to think about that. So I'm going to get back to people on that. But there are things that I did think about that I don't want to see in 2022.
From 2021.
Yeah, from 2021. I don't want to know.
That's interesting. So rather than a New Year's resolution, things you want to do is things you don't want to
see
in 2022. Yes. Can I just say, that's such a Sachin thing to do. It's like you know what gets on my nerves? This. You know what needs to stop? That. That's so you.
I think that's, I mean, this could be, this is sad. Well, you could be running for prime minister at this rate, because, you know.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, and there was quite a few things, but, you know, it just made me think a lot about
it. Sachin's got a list. He's been working on this.
No, I have got a list, but I think that, like, you know, I think there's one thing that stands out.
Start us off.
Okay, I'll start. Have you guys got some then? I'm sure you probably think of something.
What are you thinking of?
All right, so I'm thinking of, like, I think 2021 has got to be the year of people doing gender reveal stuff. and dumb gender reveal stuff. Like where they, like I saw one fella had his old thing up on the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah.
There's people kicking footballs and they can't kick the ball. It doesn't break. And then he's stupid on the camera.
I think Harry Kane did one like that. Harry Kane did a penalty where you had to kick a balloon from the penalty spot.
Yeah, you kick the ball and then the ball goes either blue or pink or whatever.
You know what I thought you meant? Like what gender they identify as? Like the gender reveal. I mean, baby.
Baby gender reveal thing.
And it's just like, well, why are you putting that up online anyway? Like,
and also, the gender reveal doesn't mean anything anymore. Because you know, God knows what it's going to end up being anyway. You have no control over that. So, imagine 20 years later, you're showing the gender reveal. And you're, that didn't go according to plan, did it? Because that was blue. Now it's pink.
But why are people still doing
yellow?
I think the worst one I've seen is where they had the helium balloon. They let go of it and it went in the sky. So they never used it.
That's probably the best way to go about it, though.
I'm just like, we didn't find out. That's the end of it. I just thought, I don't want to see any more of them.
I just find it all a bit weird, that whole gender reveal thing, isn't it? I don't know. It feels like it's an addition to a celebration. I mean, you know, the fact that you announced that you know, you guys are having a baby, I think is exciting enough. You know,
exactly.
So the gender reveal, it just feels like it's an add-on. It's like sort of Navratri is the celebration, but then, 3 days before, I'm going to reveal my dandiya and show you what they look like. Do you know what I mean? These are the dandiya that I'm taking this year.
Please don't do that, Kedge.
You know what I mean? The dandiya reveal. Like, you know, that's what's going to happen this year.
No,
maybe.
I get it.
Maybe.
There's a main, but is it not a way of celebrating Navratri and adding to the celebrations of Navratri if you had a dandiya reveal? Do you know what I mean? Like, is the gender reveal not like a chance for people to get together, like the baby shower? You know, this is something for both.
I get a baby shower, like, I get that. But it's just this gender reveal thing. I'm sorry. I just can't get my head around. And the thing is, I think we were just inundated with them in 2021.
Yeah, well, you obviously were, Sage.
I saw loads.
Okay, well, then on that note, I tell you, sorry, just because it's on my mind from what I was talking about in the kebab shop. And that is, and it's happened in the kebab shop, not this time, a couple of weeks ago when I was there last, because I'm there regularly for the for the value, for the reward points.
This kebab journey has really affected Tommy.
But also, at the supermarket, at literally nearly every till, and I promise you, now that I say it, mark my words, you're going to realize how many people do this, and it needs to stop, which is the coronavirus chat, right? Everybody wants to have the chat about whether they got it, what it was like for them, how bad it is, what their theory is on it, the conspiracy theory.
With the cashier.
And when you're stood in line, I don't think you should be allowed to have that chat when others are waiting. Behind you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's more like, I'm there, and he's going, well, you know, and the other, this one's quite mild in the air. It's more like a little flu. I mean, my cousin got it, and he was a bit like, had cold symptoms. And I'm going, yeah, okay, put your stuff in a bag, because I've got to get back. Everybody has got a theory, but I just don't think the till or a go talk about it with your friends and family.
But
don't hold up the line.
That might be the only person these people have seen.
No, but I don't think that it should just be like at the. I'm sorry, but when you're at the supermarket, don't have a conversation about anything. There's people waiting behind you. I don't care. Yep.
I went to the supermarket on bank holiday and I spoke to the lady. And we spoke about
it. I'm sorry, but go somewhere that wants to hear about it, because there's people behind you like that want to get in there quick time. Whether it's COVID, I don't know, your dandy, I reveal anything. Just no one cares. Get on with it. Grab your stuff and out.
I'll be honest. Satch, confession, I do talk to the people.
I know, I was going to say, out of all the people, Tommy gives it the large anyway.
But I don't slow the process of bag packing down to do it. You know, and the same way, so the kebab man 2 weeks ago, and I told my wife, and she goes, what took so long? Because she was waiting in the car outside.
Yeah.
Because we pre-ordered, 10 minutes to pick this up. Yeah. The little gutta, I tell you what he did, right? He took the money for the kebab. He had the bag of food.
Yeah.
And he kept it on his side of the till while he told me his theory.
Because
he went, brother, because obviously we've established that he's slightly racist. So he goes, brother, think about it. Where did this virus start? Right? And I went, they're saying China. Yeah. And he went,
I love how Tommy gave him all this time as well.
No, bro, I'm going. I can't be.
But you didn't need to. Why did you have to entertain this?
Because I'm the only one in there. Right. Then he goes, and what do we, like you just said, with the tests and all the, he goes, and what do we all need for all this? Plastic this, plastic that. Where's it all produced? China. Right. So I'm getting, okay, cool. Yeah. I get your theory. And I'll be honest, I just went, yep, and agreed with him.
Yeah,
because I thought, if I come out with an alternative theory.
Oh, yeah.
Like, another half an hour.
That balances this debate.
Your kebab will start moving again and start breathing.
My kebab's going to reincarnate itself and start walking out shop. Right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I said, you know what? There's definitely something more to this, isn't there, eh? But then that was fueling him, Gunnar. So you're right. What I would stick, you know, away for 2021 is, please, no more conspiracy theories on it. Can we just get on with it?
Yes. Okay. It's funny you mentioned the supermarket, because mine is related to the supermarket. And mine is, I think we should absolutely get rid of, and I can't believe this hasn't been the case up until now. Let's get rid of the trolleys where you have to stick a pound coin in to release it. Because it never used to be like that. Trolleys were all queued up. You just pull one and you just go with it. In the coronavirus times now, touching, putting that coin in, fiddling with the lock, all of that palaver, putting it back, putting the lock, touching someone else's, you know, locking thing, and then you've got to put it in your hole, and then you've got to take the pound coin out. It's such a palaver. And it's forced me to carry three baskets, because I didn't have a pound coin on me, and I needed to buy loads of beers, loads of wine, and a whole load of crisps. So you can't mix and match, because the crisps will get squashed. So I was carrying three baskets on my arms. Like, it was killing me.
But did you not, during lockdown, Did your supermarket banished the pound coin thing? All of a sudden, they were all free throughout lockdown.
Yeah, no. Tesco, Watford haven't.
I think Tesco, but they brought the pound back now.
They brought it back.
Yeah.
Now.
No, it's never gone.
No, I think my one's bought it in, because it never used to be like that. When I went to Tesco the other day.
It's ridiculous that you have to put in a pound. What are you going to do with the trolley? At most, a kid might take his mate in it and push him down the road. One trolley. You know, how many trolleys go missing? What do people do with trolleys if they take it home? Why?
Yeah. I think random trolleys down the middle of the road, That's a real thing of the kind of early 90s.
Yeah, late 80s. No one does that. There's not time for that. Well, you
because just because the kids have got flipping thingies, their scooters now.
Kids don't care. Yeah, exactly. Kids got hoverboards, this, that, and the other. The kids don't care about nicking. Nicking a trolley was like, it was you know, points for us, not for kids nowadays.
But maybe that's because of the pound system. That's why. Maybe I'm saying that's why we haven't got trolleys lying around the street.
Well, anyway, I think that's what I'd stick in. If there was a room 101 on the Brown Road, that's what would be going in there. Trolleys with pound.
Why, Kedge, of all the people, I would have thought you would have had one of those key rings.
I did.
With a little Sainsbury's Tesco coin.
It was a Tottenham coin that I used to keep.
And yes, I remember you having that.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you.
I just got
rid of it. Well, no, it fell off the keychain, and then I don't know where it was. Then I found it, and then lockdown happened, and then all of this COVID. I'm like, well, I don't even want to touch a trolley anyway. But it's just, it's so much faff. So much
it is
faff.
Interesting, what you did in that situation, Kedge, just very quickly, is you got three baskets and just carried on. See, I would have gone, if I didn't have cash on me, I would have gone to the cash point. I would have drawn out some money. I would have gone inside, gone to the little tobacco-y magazine-y bit, sandwich bit.
Oh, changed my God.
Got the pound, got the trolley, and
chance.
If anything, Kedge, you've increased your COVID chances by three times by picking up three different baskets.
No, because I have gloves on and I've got sleeves on my top, so therefore none of it touched my skin.
Same gloves would have touched the pound coin. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
No.
But no. I do get your thing about the pound. I don't like the pound coin thing either.
Exactly. So there we go. We've had our bone and we've got it out of our system.
Just talking of key rings, because you touched on this, I quickly want to say this. Big up to Aman Segal. I just want to big him up because he sent me this.
What's that?
He got the Dishum Matka. And it's the key ring. He got it and he sent it.
So it's funny you said that because we got Sunil as well, who messaged us on the Brown Road, and he went, Kedge, check out this Matka expert. He's got them all. And he went to Dishum in the UK within 24 hours. There's this guy who... I don't know what he's, I think it's like not just corner shop or something. And he's sitting there with all of the keyrings, all 8 tokens from every Dishum in the country.
Oh, wow.
And I went, I did reply to him. I said, thank you for bringing that to our attention, Sunil. But also, this guy needs a life.
Yeah, true that.
Bruv, we would eat our way through all the Dishums in the country.
Yeah, but bruv, do you know what? I think we should stick Dishum in room 101 because we've given them too much advertising. So they can
agree
as well, mate.
Oh, come on.
I do not want to hear that D word in 2022.
Yeah, let's keep away from that D.
Then in which case, we should stick KFC, Greg's.
Pizza Hut.
And by the way, Farm Foods, which really had the really good, or East Farm Foods, whatever they were called, they had the really nice naan. Who never sponsored us either. So
You know what? After we picked them up, they got so much love and their Instagram account got so lively, like they were tagging people and everything. I'm like, all of a sudden their admin's woken up and they missed the biggest pump of the century. Anyway, let's not go there. But talking about people who've been messaging us, I had someone message me, right, over the holidays.
Yeah.
And I have not heard from them in over 20 years.
Was it Father Christmas?
I wish it's been 20 years and they messaged me and I was like, I recognized the name and then I thought, who is this person? So I kind of, and then they messaged and they said, I'm going to read you the first message. They went, happy birthday, Kedge. And I was like, wow, that's a good memory.
So they must know you then. Like,
I don't know how they know that because I wasn't that close to them. They said, I hope you're well. I still remember you.
Oh.
And are you ready? From the first Bollywood movie reviews you did for us many years ago for our website, Asia Max and Bollywood Nation. And I was like, oh my God, I've completely forgotten that bit of my life.
You did what? What did you do for them? For Asia Max?
So I used to write Bollywood reviews on the internet for two websites called Bollywood Nation and Asia Max. So this is...
Are they still going today?
No.
That'll be why.
No, I said to him, what happened to the website? And he said, well, the website turned into a model and promotions agency, obviously without me. And then the credit crunch closed it down.
Legend.
And
forget your garage bang night. You need to get Asia Max back out there.
Asia Max. It was in 1998, my first year at uni.
then you can hire me as a writer because I'll give you a review straight away on the film. Yeah. In one word.
I know. Yeah. You know, just thought, God, what a life. It feels like another life. You know what films I reviewed? So if anyone wants, I don't even know if you can find it. I'm going to have to dig them out. No. They weren't newish films at that time. Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. There was a film called Doli Saja Ke Rakhna and Soldier and Pyar Toh Honai Tha. I did those. And I thought I'd written it really well. I'm gonna have to dig them out because I think they are saved somewhere. And I thought, I'm going to try and find them. So I was Googling through, like, you know, like the emails, because I thought there must have been somewhere on there that I've sent it. But then I remembered I was using my other email address at that time, which was y2kedge@yahoo.com.
I knew it'd be something like that. What a word. Can I just say, I've never had an email address like that ever, where it's just been some dumb.
No, that was my only one, because it was cool, wasn't it? It was trendy, because you needed something funky for MSN Messenger.
No, you didn't. You could just have your name.
You just use your name, yeah.
Well, anyway, so it was that. But then I was going through that, I found this other email which came up from 2007.
So why are you going through old email? What were you doing?
Because I was looking for this review, because I thought I might have sent it to him, because I wanted to read the review out to you, and then you could have rated my review. I'm going to still find it. I will, and then you can rate the reviews. But
it would be great if you just said, "Oh, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai is a flop. Shah Rukh Khan has no future. this is a film that doesn't resonate with anybody. Yeah.
Songs were terrible."
No, I was in love with that film, so it did get a good review. But I remember being harsh on Soldier because it was Bobby Deol and Priti Zinta, and I thought it was rubbish, and I did actually make it quite clear. But I found an email from 2007. I was like, oh, because I typed in the word Bollywood. And so, you know, like when you search your emails, and this email from 2007 came up, right? Which makes me 27.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is a weird email from someone called Chris. And I went in the chain and had a look at it. And I completely forgot that I released an album in 2007.
You what? An album of what? Leave it, okay.
Guys, this is I can't believe that I might be getting paid for this somewhere in some account.
No, somebody else is.
Specify what kind of album. Music.
It's a music album. It was a music album, okay. And it was a two CD compilation released in Europe in 2007 by a label called Nascente, and they did a lot of compilation CDs that I'm gonna now, because I found this is the only bit of the cover.
What was the artist name you went under?
Well, no. Here's the thing. It was a compilation album. I curated it.
Curated it.
Okay.
No. You didn't release an album. Like, you weren't singing or something.
No. I thought you were doing harmonies and stuff. Like,
oh, no. I did ask if they wanted me to recreate all the songs, and they said no. But look at this. Can you see this?
Oh, it's sexy.
It's a sexy lady.
So it's called Bollywood Flavor. Bollywood.
No, it's Bar Bollywood. It was known as Bar Bollywood.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's classic and new Bollywood flavors.
So what? The CD is called Bar Bollywood.
Bar Bollywood.
I used to DJ at Bar Bollywood in London.
Bruv, this was inspired by that. I went through the era. So, I mean, shall I give you a quick little rundown of the 10, so how many tracks? 15 tracks in CD one.
Give us a couple. Yeah. Give us a few bangers.
Okay, so he started off with the oldest. I started with the oldest. So the first one was Ichikadana Bichikadana from Sri Char Sovis. Do you know that tune?
Go on.
Right? And then
did you down where?
It even had Yahoo from Jungly in there. It had Mere Samne Wale Khidki Mein from Padosan. Tune. Moving on to Jimmy from Disco Dancer. Even had, I know Tommy loves this, Tu Mera Hero Hai from Hero. Went on to Mera Nam, My Name is Lakhan from Ram Lakhan. Saat Samandar. On to CD2 now. Saat Samandar, Illu Illu, Roop Suhana Lagta Hai, Gentleman, Jadu Hai Nasha from Jism. This is when we were getting to the current
sexy
era.
Time.
Biggie Hort, Murder, proper sexy time.
Yeah.
Mujhe Tumse Mohabbat Hai, the remix. And then we got Wo Lamhe, Wo Baat Hai, DJ Suket, the remix as the end.
So you can tell. So you did, you kind of, you start off on a certain fun vibe. You go a bit kind of, you know, classic Bollywood. Then you go a bit kind of remixing as well with the Sugeti. Well, no, then you finish
that
on
the era, wasn't it? 2006, 2007 was that era of the remix thing. Now,
it's, I'll be honest, the challenge is Apple Music. I just had a little look. It's
not anywhere. 2007, there was no Apple Music. There was no Spotify. I'm just, the challenge is, if anyone can find this, because these CDs were sold. If anyone can find it, please send me a copy. They were available across Europe. It was a European release, guys.
I tell you this though, on Spotify there is a playlist done by Harshal called Bollywood Bar. So it's not Bar Bollywood, but he's got Arijit Singh, Neha Kakkar, Zach Nice, Bomb Diggy.
Now this is all the new stuff. This was the classic. This was the classic.
I mean, if I find that CD, Kedge, I'm going to get you to sign it.
Mate, I mean, I'm happy if we need to plan a signing session for all the people who will now come forward with this CD. Check your CD storages.
What a wally.
Double CD. See, I just think, Kedge, you know.
I'll be honest, I got excited there. I thought, because with Apple Music as well, if you type in the name of a singer, it comes up with anything they're attached to it.
Of course.
Great. Let me find what the vocals you did or what.
Oh, no. I can't sing.
No, but like studios. Listen, I can't sing, but I've sung on stuff, and it's out. It's on Apple Music. I've sung theme tunes to TV shows, and it's uploaded. I didn't upload it. It's uploaded onto Apple Music. But you know, you can cheat it. You can cheat it in a studio and just get by with it.
Well, bit of auto tune in that.
Exactly. But okay. Kedge, just because, you know, here you are reminiscing about your past. I've had people sliding into my DMs and you've got messages and all that. But maybe wanted to talk about your future, Kedge. I won't say her surname, but Bharati has messaged me.
Yeah.
And really lovely message, right? Really lovely message, lots of love and positivity and all that.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, by the way, you know, there's a certain comedian that she used to teach at school that I know from the comedy circuit and all that. She goes, it's quite a long message, right? So she said all that, and that's a good
line. All the positive stuff.
9-10 lines. She goes, and on another note.
Oh.
How about Kedge for my cousin? He's in Watford, right? ?
Yeah.
And she's in Stanmore, ? Both Gucci. And I'm like, hold a minute. Since when did my DM box become the Kedge Rishta box?
Right? Exactly. All inquiries to Seema Taparia from...
I replied with one line. Hi, Bharati. You don't want Kedge in your family. Happy New Year. That's all I want.
Great bit of advice here.
I thought that sums it up. That says it how it is. But it was the way she... It was like, what? In what world have I become this kind of, hey, can you get me to Kedge? I'm like, no.
But you are seen as a bit of a pachulan or whatever you would call it, isn't it? Tommy does like to do a little bit of that. I'm sure that could be your side business.
The thing is, funny you said that, because on Christmas Day, tagged my brother-in-law in a post. And I think that's where
I
it started.
I saw that and I was intrigued. I wanted to know the post.
Well, funny enough, I got about 30 responses for him, actually.
I knew it.
I'd say 27 of them, of the 30, were from the sisters and the mums and the family members of the person. So not the person themselves. There's still, I think, a shyness that people won't come forward themselves and go, hiya, what about me? But a lot of people are going, what about, how about my sister? You know, and all that.
Speaking of all this matchmaking stuff, wasn't she in town? What's her face?
She, Seema Taparia was in town. I knew about it. I was sworn to secrecy about it. I couldn't tell you guys about it. She did contact me 2 weeks before her arrival into the UK. She was coming down for 5 days.
She wanted you to herself?
Well, it's funny you say that, because she said, I'm landing on Monday. And then I start filming on Thursday. So me and my husband will be in central London, Kedge. She told me the address where she was staying. And she said, straight out.
You want to come around and watch us matchmate?
No, straight out. She just went, Kedge, can you take us around London, please? Can you drive us? We need something to do.
You're that guy.
My husband has broken his foot, so he can't take the tubes. And we need a driver.
Did you?
I'm Joe Boyingwood, Pomfrey.
Kedge, come
let
on.
Her down. There's an awkward silence. She hasn't messaged me. I haven't messaged her. I don't know what to say. I said I'll try and get back to you. I did ask my mum, my dad, my uncle, my auntie. Nobody wanted to.
And they all thought you were absolutely bonkers. Why the hell would I do that?
Well, my mum goes, excuse me, and who is this woman?
Sorry, you asked your mum, your dad, your uncle and all that.
Because I couldn't do it.
She asked all her family.
No, I asked. I couldn't do it, so I thought I'll palm it off to my mum and dad.
Okay,
my dad all of a sudden had a wisdom tooth appointment. My mum told me, who is this woman? Get lost. And no one else was available.
Surprised she didn't deck you, mate.
I'll be honest, Kedge, I think that would have been thoroughly entertaining.
I was going to ask you, Tommy,
to spend a couple of days in the car with Seema Thapar, you know, the matchmaker from Mumbai. That would have been special.
And I wasn't actually saying anything because people would have gone crazy. Do you know what I mean? There would have been a mass hangama into Central London looking for us. I was not allowed to. I was sworn to secrecy. I couldn't say anything.
But you've said it. Yes. Is she gone?
She's gone. They're filming a new series. I didn't say that.
Okay, but you did.
Oh man, okay, you missed the boat, bro. You missed the boat. That's
a shame. So talking of things that we've we've seen, obviously we saw Indian Matchmaker. What have we been watching over
There's been plenty.
There's been so much stuff, man.
I must have missed a load of them. There's been lots of talk of different series and things like that.
Okay.
I swear I just don't watch TV anymore.
I think by the end of this year, I think Tommy next New Year's Eve is going to be sitting under one of those sort of banyan trees or whatever you call it, and he's going to be there in a bit of clothage, right, just covering his crown jewels, and that's it, because he doesn't watch telly, he doesn't drink, he does it, he's almost gone vegetarian.
He spends New Year's Eve at the Godfather.
He's going to be giving those sermons out next year. Like, this is where he's at. He's even dressed up in white today.
I tell you what I did watch. Okay, I watched Encanto, the movie. That's really good, you know? The Disney film.
Encanto. Is it Disney Pixar?
Yeah, Disney. Well, it's on Disney Plus, whatever. But it's supposed to be a
good one.
It is a really good one. I thought it had a good message. Does it make you cry? Nah, it didn't make me cry.
The Christmas one that Pixar do is always good, because last year I watched that other one, isn't it? Pixar Soul.
Yes, Pixar Soul. Yeah.
And that was really good.
Soul. I didn't enjoy Soul. I didn't get into it. I just couldn't.
I liked that. I did like that. It was quite a deep film, wasn't it?
Yeah. But go on. So Encanto gets the full thumbs up from me. Well, brilliant. What have you seen? I bet you see that proper BBC dramas and stuff. And
No, BBC drama for me. There was only one film to have been watched this Christmas holidays, and that was on the 22nd of December. First day, first show, Kedge was watching Matrix, the new version.
Yeah.
Resurrections. And you know what? A lot of people might have cussed it, but it's brilliant.
Shut up.
No, wait. I'll explain this. And this is because I've had this chat with Matrix fans and Matrix non-fans who all of a sudden want to go, can I just watch Resurrections? No, you can't just watch it because it won't make any sense to you. Also, there is a lot of flashbacks, and the flashbacks get you excited if you've seen 1, 2, and 3. This answers so many questions that you might have had in 1, 2, and 3. So,
like, why have I wasted my time in 1, 2, and 3?
Not at all. And Priyanka Chopra is in it. Small role, but she is in it, and I think she does a fine job in it as well. And I think it's left open for two more. I think there might be another trilogy.
So I've heard that. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. So I really, really enjoyed Matrix 1. Right. And then as always, short attention span. I couldn't stick with two.
I think you are now old enough to enjoy Matrix 2 and 3, Tommy.
Okay, do you think so? I'm
not
sure.
Because you're in that deep vein of you know, thinking thought. Now. Spiritual. And this is very spiritual.
But that's what I would like about it. And you know, Kedge, actually, you and I talk about this all the time. We love the films and stories like Westworld and all that. Like, what's real? What's really here? Exactly. What's not here? Is any of this real? Nothing. And I think that's
And you talking about that is exactly...
Yeah.
Resurrections.
So with this one, I'm like, because I wasn't on the, and I tell you what it is as well. It's like Star Wars and all that. The people that are fans of it annoy me. I think that's what it is. And so, and you're here, openly saying that you're a fan of Matrix. I'm like, well, there you go. Openly. Matrix, I was. It's the way they bang on and on and on about it. I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
Neo is just so good, isn't he? He's just, I mean, he's like fine wine. He just ages so well, and he's brilliant in it. And there's some funny one-liners in it, and, you know, the actress in it, Trinity, is brilliant. And there's some characters that appear from 1, 2, and 3, and you're just like, oh, it's that, it's that, oh, and you get
what
excited.
About,
and it's
about
like,
Piggy
yes.
Chops? What about Piggy Chops? Piggy,
she was good. She played, so if for... No, I don't want to ruin it for people if you're still going to watch it. So, yeah, no, I won't tell you what role she played.
Oh, was she good in it? Or
like, yeah, she was. She did her role well, and there was not a lot to do, but she did her bit well, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Right, so can I just say on the flip side, everyone that I know that loves The Matrix has absolutely panned this and said it's terrible. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't interested anyway, but yeah.
What did you see then, Satch? That was so brilliant.
Oh, so what have I seen? So the thing I saw before we got into 2022, just, you know, prior to Christmas, was True Story on Netflix. Have you seen
that? Oh, yeah. You've been
sorry,
Satch. About it.
I have seen that as well from start to finish. I binged it.
Oh, yes. Me too.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Go on, you talk about it.
You know what? It is brilliant. It is brilliant.
It is brilliant.
And it was borderline not brilliant, and I'll tell you why. Ooh. Okay, so True Story is with Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes. Yeah. They play brothers in it. It starts off with Kevin Hart's character, who is called Kid. We don't find that out until about 10 minutes.
Don't ruin too much of it.
No, I'm not ruining it.
No, you're not ruining it.
But Kevin Hart's character is talking straight to the camera and is talking about being a top comedian, talking about, hey, you know, when I'm pushed to the edge, it's going to bring out so-and-so parts of my personality, and you don't realize that fame and fortune and money. So you're kind of thinking, is this Kevin or is he acting? Mm. Yeah, but I straight away saw it and I thought, no, he's obviously acting. Mm. If this is trying to be candid, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I can tell he's acting because I know I've watched enough Kevin Hart stuff of interviews.
Yeah,
it's so funny in interviews that I know when he's being real funny. So I thought, or just being genuine down the barrel to a camera talking to people. So I was like, well, I don't buy this straight away. But what I think is the episodes are just all long enough. I think it's really well made. It hooks you in. The story, like I always say, I want a story to move on. Oh, and this. But what about this? And then what about this? And what about this? It's like, and it does that. And it kind of keeps going. But it's entertainment. It's not deep spiritual thought. It's just entertain me. And it does.
Exactly.
And it's good, well acted.
Every episode just makes you want to, as you said, you binged it. And I think I got through it in a couple of days as well. Because
Wow.
You just want to know what happens next. It just leaves you on the edge.
Yeah.
And I think what I like about it is Kevin Hart's serious in it. He's not the jokey Kevin Hart that you see in...
Which is why I thought I might watch it. Because I don't like that. The buffoonery that he always portrays on the screen.
But yeah, there was none of that.
But what's interesting is, if anyone who's seen his documentary called Don't F This Up, have you seen that?
I haven't seen that, no.
Oh, that's a good one. Because he's so successful and so rich, and he's the highest earning comedian in the planet in stand-up comedy and all that, and higher than like your Dave Chappelle's, who is regarded as the greatest, but he earns the most money as a comedian because of just his tours and all the everything that he does on a business level and how hard he works. So in Don't F This Up, he talks about how he's messed up and all the things he's messed up on. He goes, you don't realize I've messed up all along the way. Alongside all my success, there's a whole load of failures, including, and he talks about it in the documentary, cheating on his wife. And he cheats on his wife in Vegas. Mm. And he cheats on his wife with another girl. And he kind of is set up by one of his close people in real life, like, or he can't quite rely on them, can't quite trust them. I forget the exact story. And in this, he's a comedian who's sleeping around a little bit. And I'm okay. He's divorced. So I'm not giving anything away here, but when he's sleeping around, but you're like, whoa, this is not a million miles away. And he's a very successful comedian. He's doing stand-up tours all around the world. He's got his entourage. He's got his business manager. You know, you're getting that side of the business as well. Do you not think it's a little bit like Entourage in a way, Satch?
Yeah,
as well?
Definitely.
Insight, but in a glamorous-y sort of
glamorous
way.
Glamorous way, yeah. So, no, it's really good.
No, it's a good watch. That is
True Story was a good watch. And the other thing I binged watch on the other side of the New Year sort of celebration in 2022, because it came out on the 31st of January, was Cobra Kai season 4.
Oh,
31st of December.
31st of December it came out, and
there's a lot of good things being said about that new series.
It is really good, but I mean, it's really cheesy, don't get me wrong, but it's just an easy watch. You can put it on in the background, you can half watch it, you like it because you see people, like in this one, it's all about Terry Silver, who comes back for it, and just like, it's brilliant, because he's talking about how, you know, he was a messed up guy in the films, basically. And it was only at this point where I realised, when I'm 34 years old, he was on a lot of drugs back then. Because he says it, because he says it in this. And I was actually sitting there, I was like,
oh, it's obvious now.
It makes sense. When I was a kid, I didn't know. I was none the wiser. I didn't know what drugs were. Yeah, exactly. No,
exactly.
See, and I was like, there you go. I like that.
I want to add then to the things I'd leave behind in 2021. Right. I think I'm done on easy watches, Satch.
I don't want an easy watch.
Anymore.
Why do you say that? I was going to say I only like butt clenching series now, where it really, where it really puts me on edge, and it's all it makes me think. And it's I've tried watching Cobra Kai because I did love Karate Kid, and it was just like, well, you know what? It's like, oh well, I might as well paint with one hand and, you know, pick my nose with the other, and who cares really? No,
but that's me. Like, I mean, look, the reason why I watch it is because I'm sitting there on my laptop doing work, so it's just in the background.
Yeah,
you can follow it with one eye. You see, I'm not sitting there concentrating on it.
No, but then I can't do that. I use two eyes.
But I do like the concentrating ones. Like, for example, True Story. I didn't look at my phone once. And obviously, I even started that film that everyone's banging on about, Kedge, that you talk about. I've seen half
the only film and I think every human being needs to watch. Haven't watched it, then you are missing out, and get on it straight away. It's on Netflix. Don't Look Up. I mean,
again, I watched half of it, couldn't get into it. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it.
Wow. I'm halfway through.
It was too cheesy, Leonardo, cliche.
Leonardo,
I don't think was great in it. I thought Jennifer Meryl Lawrence Street. Was odd in it.
Brilliant.
The best thing about it is Jonah Hill, who I love. And when I saw the cast, I was like, yes. But I know it was trying to poke fun at this modern generation, but maybe it's because you guys are in social media and digital content and all that.
No. It's honestly everyone needs to watch it, especially those people.
I don't know. I disagree.
Who will argue that they know everything about coronavirus and maybe why they're not taking the third booster, or they're not doing this or they're not doing that. And it is, you just feel sorry for doctors and scientists who are actually clever.
Well, see, again, I get that. I saw that as, you know, in the first part of it, where they're like going, hello, and the Meryl Streep's dismissing it all and all that. And it's very kind of Trump-esque. But I'm like, it's not making me laugh. It's not making me go, oh, I get what they're doing. It's not making me think this is super clever. I'm like,
I think, Tommy, I think you need to wash your brain out, give it a blank canvas and start again. Because if Satch's got halfway through it.
I will. For you, if you're saying that. No, honest, and I'm not saying it,
I'm surprised.
I value.
If Satch's got halfway through it, then I think it's good.
And I want to watch the rest of it. Like, it's it's halfway through and I'm going to switch off. I might have been
in a bad mood at the time.
Yeah, I think the Christmas decoration stress might have been heavy on your head at that time. But can I tell you the other thing as well? That, again, just released sort of Christmas time. It's from Korea. Again, it's another one. Forget, what was the one that we watched first? The one with Squid Game. Forget Squid Game. Hellbound.
Yeah.
This is the new one. It's called The Silent Sea. Brilliant. I mean, you know what? These Koreans, they have got making Netflix shows down to a T. It's brilliant. It's a mystery. It's a great concept that starts with. The concept is that we run out of water on this planet. But then there's something else that goes on, which is obviously a 24-hour mission that they have to go and do. And I'm three episodes in, and it's like I said, it's making me clench my, it's bum clenching. It's tense. It's a little bit, it's a good thriller.
You can get medication for that, Ked, if you want to.
Well, I don't know. I mean, quite enjoying it at the moment. So.
Okay. Okay, cool.
The Silent Sea, yeah?
The Silent Sea.
Sorry, the Silent Sea, like the letter C, or the Silent Sea, like?
No, the Silent Sea as in ocean.
Okay. I thought it was like the Silent Sea in someone's name.
I only noticed. Maybe it's a play on that. Maybe that might be. Oh, that's clever. I didn't think of that. Oh. Maybe it might come in a bit later on, that the Silent Sea.
Silent Sea, you next Tuesday.
Or
You're such a kid.
Sorry, Andy.
Even now.
And that's why he watches Cobra Kai season 648.
It made you laugh. It made you laugh. Come on.
But even now, when people say, like, Milo and Logan got some Adidas stuff, and I go, Adidas, all day I dream about sex. And I don't. So I can't help it. There's some stupid stuff that's stuck with us for life. Anyway, things we've learned then, boys. Things we've learned.
I'm going to say is I'm going to go last because I'm going to give you something that's going to basically blow your mind, Tommy, as much as the Walker's crisp fact that you've been carrying around with you for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
This is the way.
Can I just say, I enjoyed last week's podcast because I got to have we got to have a week off the podcast and just listen to Satch's brilliantly made highlights of facts and stuff. And I'll tell you, I realise I've got a terrible memory. It's shot to pieces. I think I've just caned it too much over the years. But I was like, it's like I'm listening to it for the first time. I was like, I learned all new stuff again, but it was good. So
it's a good one to just keep in your phone, and then you can quickly listen to it, get a fact, impress your other half, impress your date, impress your family, impress your kids. It's all there.
All right, here we go. Shall I kick it off then for 2022? And you can use this word to impress whoever you're speaking to, because the word I have learned this week is calapigus.
How do you spell that?
He says. C-A-L-L-I-P-Y.
Yeah.
G-O-U-S.
Calapigus. So it sounds like something to do with dinosaurs.
Calipigus.
But it's not. But it's not to do anything to do with dinosaurs.
No.
It sounds a bit like a fungal disease. Oh, bro, I've got to get a cream.
Is it something to do with Calippo, the ice lolly?
No, but...
Or Galapagos Islands?
No, it's not nothing to do with that. It's basically the word which means having beautifully shaped buttocks.
Oh, well, after all that buttock clench you can get.
We make it Calapagos.
Basically, that's exactly what it is. Calapagos comes from basically two words. It's two Greek words, the word for beauty and buttocks. And it was the Greek goddess of love called Aphrodite Calapagos who raises a rope to reveal her backside, and that's where the words come.
I love that she's got this rope attached to her dress or something. She's lifts and then it's
she lifts the back up.
It's like the curtain of a stage show that opens up. And who decides it's perfectly shaped?
I don't know, but that's just each their own. But that was the one that they went for.
So you can have a Calapagos.
You can have a Calapagos.
Right. I was just learning how I'm going to fit it into a sentence.
Yeah. Check out that Calapagos.
Right. Oh yes. Check out the Calapagos on that.
You know what? I swear, you get that to a rapper, it will be dropped into a rhyme.
Oh, Sean Paul, very easily.
Yeah.
Calapagos.
Calapagos. Oh yeah. That's what I've learned. Yeah, this week.
Have finely developed buttocks as well. So you can go, I've been doing my squats. Man's working on his Calapagos. Because it's developed. It's not just born with. It's not I'm blessed with Calapagos.
Yeah.
It's having finely developed.
That's it. Whereas kids are underdeveloped.
Underdeveloping.
Underdeveloping, okay.
Well, with all this Netflix drama.
He's got a Calapagos. No, good luck.
It will transform soon.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's a good word.
That is a good word. Yeah, it was a good word.
My thing I learned this week was actually inspired through Logan this year, because Logan got a tablet and he wanted Pac-Man of all games. Ooh. He goes, I want Pac-Man.
That's a good game for that age.
What does he know about Pac-Man?
Probably from YouTube videos and things like that. So he's five. He's just turned five. And so I thought, that's weird. I said, why Pac-Man? He goes, oh no, I like it. I like Pac-Man. I said, okay. And he went, Dad, what is Pac-Man?
Mm.
And then I suddenly thought, I'm not sure whether this is already a thing we've learned. Thing that's been said, but I did a quick little bit of homework on it and Googled it and searched it and thought, what is Pac-Man and what is his character? What is that little yellow?
What is it based from? It's not cheese, is it? Is it cheese?
No. And I swear, Kedge, I think we've done this as a thing to learn. If we have, like I said, I've got a terrible memory.
Sounds familiar.
Okay. Pac-Man was created by game designer Toru Iwatani.
Yeah, I know of him.
He was 24 at the time. And the idea of the character came to him when, this is brilliant, This is how ideas are born. And please, if you're sat on an idea right now, this is where one of the most popular games in the history of gaming has come from. The idea came to Toru when he was eating a pizza and he took a slice out.
Yes, I know this, but I don't know if I said it, but I do know this. Yes,
right.
Now
so
that
he took a slice
out,
then he looked at that character, or you know, looked at the pizza with the slice missing, and thought that looks like a face that would go along munching things, right?
Yeah.
So, and then he was also partly inspired by the onomatopoeic phrase "baku baku," which means chomp chomp.
Chomp chomp.
So that means chomp. So baku baku, that's where Pac-Man, and the kanji symbol. The kanji symbol, this is what it's called. The kanji symbol for the word taberu, which means to eat. So there's a kanji symbol for the word that's a symbol.
Right.
I've never.
Where's the kanji symbol? Signal.
Symbol. Let me just quickly just have a little Google of that then. But there must be a kanji symbol. That looks a kanji symbol. Kanji is a footballer, but it's also for the word taberu, meaning to eat. So for taberu, let me just go and see if there is a symbol that looks a bit like it. It's kind of just looks like Japanese writing. It's got a little mouth opening to
like
the
house.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, Tommy, that is really interesting. But what did you say his name was?
Oh, Toru.
See,
hold on a minute.
Now this is where it gets weird, because what does Toru mean in Gujarati, Kej?
A little.
And what's cut out of like the pizza?
Oh, a little slice. Slice. Toru, a like little Tora. Slice. Yeah, we would say Tora. Iwatani. It sounds a bit desi. Sounds like could be your surname, Kej. But then I'm just saying, there's a guy who ate a pizza slice who then developed a game at the age of 24.
Brilliant,
good
and,
lad.
You know, and went on and changed the world. So, Joe, there you go. That's what things I learned. Pac-Man is inspired by a pizza slice with a missing slice.
Bingo. Right, lovely. Are you ready for this one? So over the break, there were a few visits to McDonald's. When you go to McDonald's and you ask for tomato ketchup.
Yes.
You get a sachet like this. Everyone is familiar.
No.
Heinz
no, not at McDonald's, you don't. At Burger King, you get those. At McDonald's, you get their own. Because so funny, Kej. I'm going to interrupt here. I thought about this. At McDonald's.
Sorry, McDonald's? Sorry, Burger King.
Because I thought, I had McDonald's ketchup over Christmas, and I thought, I don't mind this ketchup. And I'm a Heinz ketchup bundle.
Of course. Sorry, I meant McDonald's. Burger King. Got it wrong again. Right. Yeah. So you get a normal, everyone knows the red sachet, the Heinz one.
Yes. Heinz red sachet, yep.
And it was intriguing because I got like a few and I was just looking at them because there was a bit of time before I used them. And I noticed that they have...
What do you mean while your food was being prepared?
but in the sense that there was...
You took some home, didn't you? You tight little...
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, he went home and filled up his own bottle.
I was going to eat it at home. Right, I was going to eat it at home, so I grabbed a few. Now, on the packets, you will see on the top left-hand corner or the right, depending on how you look at it. Can you see? There's a number there.
Yeah.
A number. Where the tear is.
Yeah. So that one says
a number
nine.
Inside the perforated line.
Yeah, there's a number nine. It's sometimes at the bottom, in the middle. Okay. And then I thought, wonder what that means. And then I looked at another sachet, and then this one has a 7 on it. And then I thought, different number. And then I looked at this one, and it's got number 6 on it.
Okay. And then clearly some sort of order of something.
Guess what?
What?
The numbers actually mean something.
Okay. Look at you. Right. So, I want to clarify to anybody who right now is thinking, hang on a minute, I've got some sachets of tomato ketchup, Heinz tomato ketchup.
Get them out now. To do this experiment, you want a good range of numbers.
Okay, so you get the little sachets, and can I just clarify before you go, because I'm excited by this already, I'll be honest, I think this is up there with the Walkers one.
This is going to replace the Walkers one.
Go on.
Bruv, wait. Do the numbers still exist on the mayonnaise sachets as well, or is it just, because Heinz do the mayonnaise ones as well?
Yes. Oh, I've only then gone into the Heinz side of things, and I've only the ketchup side, and I've only discovered the ketchup side of it.
Okay, good. I'm ready for this. Go on.
So it starts at one, and the highest number I've seen is 9. Okay, but I don't know if there's any more because I've had to go and get a few more sachets to check the numberage out. Okay, right. Then I thought, right, what is this? So I've done a bit of digging, and I have found out that the number of that's on the ketchup means, firstly, that they're all different. Now, how would they be different between 1 to 9? Because you're thinking a ketchup is ketchup. What would be the difference? But let me tell you. That 1 to 9 is a spectrum, a range of tomato ketchup flavors. Now, here's the magic in it. So the fact that it ranges from 1 to 9, so I've discovered so far anyway, is that number 1 is the sweetest tasting ketchup.
Ooh.
And number 9 is the most sour.
Sour.
And I did I put them out and I did a
Experiment,
clean your palate out with water, and my word. Now, I don't know if I'm going bagel, but it tasted different.
The colour
changes as well.
Yeah, now I've noticed the colour changing in those sachets.
And that's why sometimes, now it all makes sense, because sometimes you love the ketchup and sometimes it doesn't go well.
For you then, which ones are you liking?
I was 6 and 7. I was more the sour end. Because you know, sometimes you get that sweet one when you go to CAFs and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I was more 6 and 7. But everyone needs to do this experiment. It is game-changing. Wow,
that is interesting. And for example now, so say when you go Burger King, and obviously they just pick a handful out of a box.
Exactly, they just pick up.
So is that random? In that box, all, there is loads
there's of There's all random ones in there because they want you to have that different sensation.
No. You're wrong. There's no way.
Here we go. Bit of homework. Do it.
Already done the homework, bruvs. Not homework. I haven't done homework because I thought, no way would Heinz at their level. Here's what I didn't buy about it. So you're right. I'm sorry. This does not trump the Walker's fact straight away.
It does.
There's no way that Heinz would have 9 levels of inconsistency with their tomato ketchup. They would not be that inconsistent. And I think you've done the absolute placebo effect thing on you by kind of thinking there must be something different, and therefore you are tasting something different in it. But there's no way. There's no way there's 9 variations on
it. Okay, well, and I think that's a perfect note to end the podcast on.
Tommy, what's that based on?
What's what based on?
Just basing it.
Now, Alan, what's yours based on, Kedge, and what's his based on?
Go, Kedge.
So, I have actually done the taste test, and also I have read about it, which means that it's true.
He looks like he's lying.
All I'm saying is, do it yourself. This week, you know what, while you're still easing yourself into your calm and all of that, and kids will be gone to school if you've got kids and all of that, you'll have a bit of free time, you know, work is a little bit slow, you're working from home, do a little experiment and give us the feedback, because this is what we're here for. We like to get everyone involved with the podcast. Let's do it, come on.
So already Kedges sounds like a blag. Tommy, what was yours based on?
I was like,
whatever you looked at.
So you know, one of my dreams this year, one of my targets is to launch my own spicy mayo chutney thing, right?
I'm
working on it. It's bubbling along, a little sideline project, bit of fun. And one of the things you've got to do is have consistency. You can't just bust out 9 different...
Yeah, but this is not Tommy Sandu's little chili.
Imagine
Coca-Cola giving you 9 different flavors of Coke.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen, is it?
You don't know that yet.
But what I will say is... Okay, so then I had a quick look, and obviously, what am I... I'm only basing mine on Twitter. Google. And the original tweet that Heinz UK have replied to is now unavailable, but Heinz's reply says, it just says the numbers on the sachet. Now, I don't know what number this is. This might not be that number.
It might be a different number. There are other numbers on there.
The numbers on the sachet relates to the filling line which the sachet was filled on. So maybe they have 9 lines filling them. And at the end of that line, if there's a problem with one of the lines, they can number it.
That right? That makes more sense.
No, but I'll tell you why. What year was that tweet?
Huh?
What year was that tweet?
2019.
There you go.
I said they've changed their whole manufacturing process, kid, in that.
All I'm saying is, you look, do it yourself.
All right, what we'll do is we'll leave it and we'll see what people come back to.
But can I?
And in the meantime, do it. I know you both are dying to do this experiment as well.
And before you do the taste test, I want to just big up someone called G. Rowell on Twitter, who says, we used to entertain ourselves. This is a proper Weatherspoons person and a proper Weatherspoons game. He goes, we used to entertain ourselves by grabbing a load of sachets and then playing higher or lower with the number in the top corner. Like,
brilliant prices, game.
We'll play your cards right.
Brilliant game. So
first one out, it's a 7. Are we going higher or lower?
Hey! Right, it's number 4.
It's like you can do that with the sachets and then do the taste test. I know. I will do it. I will take part in that. That's hilarious.
Also, note the colour change as you go around the wheel. I'm just saying.
Okay, interesting. I will give it a go. I will give it a go.
Okay, right. I'll have a look.
And that's your lot.
Thank you very much.
All week. If you need
that, that is a good one. That is a good things we've learned. Right, boys. Thank you. Good way to start off the year.
Thank you.
And until next week, we'll catch you then. Have a good one.
See you later.
Later.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.